And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Woo, RDDD. Better get ready. This could be one of the most intense ones you have ever heard. It's called Pastor, Not Preeminent One. Pastor, Not Preeminent One. Ooh, ouch. Also, we're going to look at the deadly disease of division, which is a disease. And Reverend Earl Clampett going to be joining us to talk about the conference. One new man, he will be in the house.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Just ask Agent Squires. He'll tell you. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, boy. So I am not having reservation sharing this next DDD with you, Devotional Diamond of the Day. However, I have to, every once in a while, so we've done thousands of DDDs. And every once in a while, I have to lay a little bit of a warning out. So I'm going to do that on this particular DDD because it's important to. I want us to understand that, you know, and I want you to understand where I come from in my background so you can kind of get a handle on why I'm approaching this the way I am. So you don't think, well, this is just coming out of the blue. For those that are not familiar with my background, I was born and raised Jewish, became a Christian, went to one church, then went to another church. That second church became a Jim Jones-like church. A lot of shepherding in that church. For those that are not familiar with shepherding, that's when the pastor has a mentality of authority where he believes he is not just a representative of God, but the representative of God to certain people in the congregation. It can be very beneficial to have somebody who has a genuine concern. It can also be extremely detrimental when you start taking people like David Koresh and Jim Jones and putting them in a similar soup, and you get an understanding that some of that's kind of dangerous stuff, and it can be very dangerous, okay? With that was one of the reasons I wrote Church Disappointment, His Appointment. That's where it comes from. Because as a Jewish guy who became a Christian and went through this really difficult church life, really involved in a lot of controlling, Controlling, probably not as bad as like a Scientology, but pretty darn close in certain respects. And the mindset then becomes defensive, and I became pretty defensive until the Lord kind of cracked through. That's also what the book is about, Church Disappointment, His Appointment. It's kind of like this, and I think Gene Edwards said this the best. Gene Edwards is an author who wrote to people who were wounded. He said, sometimes God will, like David and Saul, will beat the Saul out of you so you can be like David. And there was some Saul in David, and God beat it out of him. And then David became a great king. Sometimes the Lord has to do that and go through that process. So when I talk about what I'm about to talk about, it is from that background. With that said, I know, it's been, you know, 40 years in my journey. This happened early on in my journey. I know that some of the finest men of God are pastors who are passionate about their people. They care. I believe this is true. Some of them would lay down their lives just to make sure that their people are okay in the kingdom. Not every pastor is a bad pastor. Not every church is a bad church. Not every church is out to get your money, and God certainly doesn't need your money. There are hundreds of excellent churches and thousands of excellent pastors in San Diego. If you haven't found one, this is not to discourage you from looking. Quite the opposite. With that being said, let's just talk about this DDD called Pastor, Not Preeminent One. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Right off the bat, all the rest of church leaders, no matter what position they're in, are sub-shepherds at best if Jesus is the chief shepherd. That's number one. Number two, listening to a pastor is not listening to Jesus Christ. If your pastor thinks every time he speaks, it's like the voice of Jesus, get out of that church. It's a cult. Got it? Is that pastor sinless? No. Number three, wonderfully quoted in 1,500 different languages, is Psalm 105, verse 15. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I could tell you that in the Greek, and it was written in Hebrew. That's how much it was drilled in. Here's the funny part about Psalm 105, verse 15. That was for Gentile kings not to touch the people of God. When it talks about my anointed ones, Christ is the anointed one. Christians is anointed ones, plural. Oh, now we got some problems, don't we? All of this came about because of John chapter 21, verse 16. Jesus asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? We just talked about this in the last hour. Jesus asked Peter, this is during his restoration, this is during a parenting lesson from Jesus, said to Simon, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he answered. You know I love you. Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. There is no question a pastor should function as a shepherd. However, that position of authority has checks and balances. And when the pastor says I'm above anybody saying anything to me, another cult, get out. Acts chapter 11, verse 1 through 2, the apostles and brothers throughout Judea soon heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the believers took issue with him. It doesn't mean that the believers were right, but it does show you the believers had the right to take issue. They had the opportunity to go, hey, I don't understand this. Hey, you need to explain this to me. It doesn't make sense. That doesn't mean that every time a pastor does something, he owes you an essay. But if there's something going on and it's not within the framework of Scripture, then there has to be an accountability, even for the pastor. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, which is very simple. If a pastor's not following Jesus, don't follow the pastor. Period. There's nothing else. The standard is Christ. And only Jesus is the sacrifice. So I want to kind of wind it down into this because it all came out of 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's the key component of a pastor. To be the example of Jesus Christ. To be the one that communicates the heart of Jesus to the people. Why this is a problem is because in our society, we have an ability to pick up and leave a church too quickly, which is true. We have an ability to vote with our wallet, which is true. None of those things are really necessarily good. And we also have an ability to be mesmerized, which is true. And we have this ability to follow without questioning, which is true. And all of that stuff is bad. None of that is good. In fact, in Jesus' challenging the Pharisees and his disciples, he provoked them to thought. He wanted them to consider and reveal and think and even question and examine and understand. Jesus doesn't want you to just, you know, it's just not marching orders. You're not a mule and you're not a horse. You don't move around with a bit and a bridle. You have a relationship with God, and you should have a relationship with your pastor, and your pastor should have one with you. And we're all accountable to one another. When there is no accountability, you get some dangerous places. That's what you don't want. But that's not an excuse to stay away from fellowship for those of us who have been hurt, and we know it. Pastor, but not a preeminent, but still a follower and a servant of God. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 Cape Rays, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. After all these years, this could happen to me.
Was an upright man, thought I made a stand. More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, Cape Rays, the Christian station. Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College. When Jesus healed a blind man, the religious authorities questioned the man over and over. Finally, exasperated, he said, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" The man points out something we often overlook: the difference between hearing and listening.
Now, hearing is a physical event, something that happens when sound waves hit our eardrums. But listening is a spiritual event, something that happens when we open our heart to what a person or God is saying to us. Hearing takes very little effort, but to really listen requires a choice, an act of the will. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how to listen to God on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
You're listening to Plugged In on 1210 AM KPRZ. USA's network TV show Suits is in its seventh season, and it's still all about the internal power struggles, gratuitous grudges, and every now and then courtroom drama that happens in and around a prestigious New York law office.
You think that I might get an office out of this dinner?
A second ago, you thought you were going to get whacked. Now you want an office?
Well, I'm adapting to changing circumstances.
Huh. Well, maybe you won't be the worst lawyer in the history of everything.
For some viewers, this may qualify as a soap-based guilty pleasure, but the emphasis is on the guilt, not the pleasure. We've got sensual situations, sour language, and rampant bad behavior that all weighs heavily on this show. It's never been the worst thing on TV, but if I'm any judge, it certainly isn't getting any better. I'm giving Suits just a 1.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. For the full review, though, go to PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. That's my email. If you don't know what email is, they've invented dirt. That's good. See, if you think, you got to be quick. See, they invented. Okay, I thought it was kind of funny. Here, I do want to remind you a couple of different things. You can go to hisappointment.com if you want to check out the book that has to do with people that have gone through really tough church experiences, and you get to find out that even if you've been through a tough church experience, that doesn't mean that God said, gee, I'd like you to be a loner in your Christianity. It doesn't work that way. While you might have gone through something tough, there's an amazing concept that God has called working things out for good. So why don't you kind of make sure to go back to that process, check it out. You're welcome to get the book. I believe it'll help you. It helped me. It helped me to write it. It's good for you. It'll strengthen you. Additionally, I do want to let you know, if you want to get any of the podcasts, you can go to davidspoon.com, or KPRZ has a little link on there for some of the podcasts, and you can check them out that way. All right, so we're going to have a special guest. It's going to be Reverend Earl Clampett's going to be on. We're going to be talking about One New Man in Messiah Conference. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. This segment, I want to talk to you about the deadly disease of division. Da da da. That's where you go. Da da da. That's beat right there. Deadly disease of division. It's okay to smile, people. It won't. Your face won't crack. Here we go. Mark chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. Now, it is ironic that in the politics of the day, which we don't like to talk about too much, that somebody attributed this quote to not just one, but the three last presidents, which is like, okay, people, this is thousands of years old. So let's get on track and understand what's taking place. Jesus made it very clear a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. You might be thinking, what about our country? Okay, how's that going? Not that great. I mean, there's a lot of division. So the idea is to understand that that division creates unifying problems, and it's a problem. And it's not just a problem there. It's a problem in the framework of the church. Because the church does a lot of divisionary stuff from time to time. If you have the Ten Commandments and you love them and you're using them, great. But the church's second set of Ten Commandments is something you choose to do, not something you should be dropping on everybody else. You can be a Baptist, you can be a Pentecostal, you can be a Presbyterian, you can be, well, as long as a Presbyterian that believes in the Bible, you can be any of the things you want to be, but they're going to have to be at the core. Jesus died on that cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. And somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21 is the dear human race, that section I just mentioned, love God. And all the other stuff is kind of goofy. Well, you have to dress this way, or you don't have to dress this way. Dogs can come, or dogs can't come. You should do this, or you should do this. It should be at this time. It should be at this time. You think God's up there going, oh, my gosh, service is at 11? How could it not be at 9? I don't think God really cares. If you care, that's cool. I don't think God's freaking. That's where I'd stand. But Jesus makes it pretty clear. A divided kingdom doesn't do well. A kingdom that's divided is going to fall. Guess what? A home that's divided, husband and wife divided, I'm not talking about what the issue is. I'm talking about the division. That creates a problem. And guess what those kids will grow up and see? That division and something that didn't work. You're not going to like this. I can't help it. A person divided doesn't do well. Have you noticed that? That's why Jesus specifically identified, said, well, Satan rises against himself. You're thinking, well, can that happen? I don't know. Do you find yourself at odds with yourself sometimes? Okay. That's how you know. And there is, for all of us who are believers, this amazing concept of unity from which I'm trying to still figure out, being a Jewish guy who became a Christian, who has a Baptist ordination and a Pentecostal ordination, trying to figure out why we can't get on the same page on this. We have the same dad. I mean, it's like, wait, what? I thought when you had the same dad, that kind of made you relatives. I know I'm missing something here. There's something there I'm not catching. Oh, by the way, we're blood relatives. What do you mean blood relatives? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, same dad, blood relatives. Wow, this is getting deep. And then we all operate and drink from the same Holy Spirit. I think those are three fantastic unifying factors of Christians. Do you remember when Sam comes in here? This is one of the things people don't realize. Sam was a Muslim, and he becomes a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. I am a Jew who became a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. When Sam comes in here as a Muslim, and I come in here as a Jew, we sit there and celebrate Jesus. That's what the whole process is. We got to kind of get our brains in the right place. Look at this in Galatians. I love there's some people, some teachers that I, you know, appreciate, and some people that are strong. There's a lot of teachers that will teach in Galatians chapter 5 that will tell you and really lay down for you an important aspect of the flesh. James Robison does one of the best jobs talking about Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, 20, and 21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Hey, you know what that is? Fleshly. That's fleshly. That's why when he was on the show, it was so fantastic. I waited years to tell him about that. Such a powerful point. We are fleshly when we do that. Look, if you want to identify with the denomination, bless you. The word denominate means to identify with. If you identify with a group, fantastic. If you do that to exclusion of others because they don't think that chocolate ice cream is the best, they like vanilla, and you have a problem with that, not fantastic. It's just that simple. If you can handle it, you get chocolate ice cream, they get strawberry ice cream, somebody else gets vanilla ice cream. As long as you're all eating ice cream, I'm okay. personally, I like more of the Rocky Road thing, but hey. But the point is to be able to love one another and understand that there are going to be some differences, which hence you should understand in the simplicity of a pizza. And you're thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean in a pizza? Let me help you out. When you order a pizza, what toppings do you get? Okay, when you order a pizza with somebody you know, do they always get the exact same toppings or do they want toppings that they like? Oh, you mean you like different toppings? Oh, that's divisionary. Or you can just share the toppings and eat the pizza. Whatever you want to do. Which one do you think the Lord would approve of? Okay, I'll leave it there. I'll let you figure that out, and we'll talk about that just a little bit more when we come back. We're going to have the opportunity to talk to Reverend Earl Clampett. He's going to be talking to us about One New Man in Messiah, a conference that's coming up. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Most people today don't have a clue about what fearing God means, but the Old Testament saints knew what it meant. They revered God and submitted to His sovereign authority. Their fear compelled them to worship Him and conform their lives to His will. When David wrote, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever," he used fear as a synonym for worship. He used fear as a way to describe an attitude of reverence toward God. God's word is also clean. That means it's without error and will endure forever. It never needs to be updated to accommodate some contemporary thinking. It's always authoritative and unchanging. I hope these truths compel you to fear God and to follow His word. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
I think conditional love is not love at all. It's manipulation.
Dr. Gary Chapman on Focus on the Family Minute.
If I do this, this, and this, then they'll do this, this, and this for me. That's manipulation. You know, teenagers often manipulate parents that way, especially if they know the love language. They say, if you know my love, you know my love language, if you love me, you'd buy me this. You know, they try to manipulate you, you know.
You've probably gotten a few letters
yeah.
like that.
Well, spouses can do the same thing, you know. And it's manipulation, it's not love. Love is looking out for the interest of the other person. And you're right, it's not natural. What's natural is to love the people who love us. Be kind to the people who are kind to us. But with God's help, we can show unconditional love to our children, to our spouse, and to other people. And in so doing, we're being an instrument of God to touch their hearts.
When you really know God's love, you can share that with others. Hear more from Dr. Chapman today at FamilyMinute.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Reverend Earl Clampett with us. We're going to be talking about One New Man in Messiah, the conference. I want to welcome him to the show. I didn't give him the normal instructions. I forgot to do this. I'm getting old. But anyway, he's about a fist away from the mic, and then when you start to relax, don't do this. people, for those that don't know what's going on, I'm leaning backwards away from the mic. So what happens is people get relaxed and then they drop their head on the desk and nobody can hear them. And it makes for difficulty pushing the mic on their face. It's weird. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for inviting me. That's great.
All right. Talk to us real quickly. What is, we got some time, but what's One New Man and Messiah? I do know it's a one-day conference, and I do know it's the 19th, which is, if I remember right, is that correct?
This Saturday. Correct.
It's like soon.
Like day after tomorrow. Right.
That's like soon.
Very soon.
What is this?
All right. This is a interesting confluence of different folks from different backgrounds getting together as authors, San Diego authors, and they're all writing more or less about the same theme, about how God is bringing together Gentiles in different denominations and Jews, Messianic Jews, and basically, with, as you can see in the artwork, merging them, but with the idea that our foundation, our starting point is Hebrew in nature, and so we're trying to do an educational presentation today over at Red Seal Ministries. It's going to be at the Claremont Christian Fellowship at 4570 Mount Herbert Avenue in San Diego, and 8:30 is the registration. It's going to go from 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m., and we have six speakers lined up. And the speakers are all, for the most part, not exclusively, but for the most part, authors that have dealt with this topic, coming at it from different angles and different perspectives. And what we're emphasizing is there is unity between what God first started and how he's going to end up. And actually, this book that we all love and know so well has 66 books within it in the Bible, but we have 40 authors, and at least, we have to realize as Gentiles, at least 39 of the 40 were Hebrew. Now, I asked a rabbi one time, do we have at least one who is a Gentile? And he responded, he asked me actually a question. He said, what occupation did Luke have? And I responded, he was a doctor. And he says, therefore, he was also Jewish. It's 40 out of 40. You don't even get one.
So I get that joke. That's good.
So in reality, if we have a, contextually, when we look at a book, if we have 40 out of 40 authors who all have a Hebrew culture, Hebrew language, Hebrew perspective, Hebrew orientation, maybe we ought to appreciate that perhaps Father God, in his blueprint fashion of starting something and growing something and constructing something, actually had an idea in mind over which he never really changed his mind. And that was the center of what everything is going to evolve from is basically the Hebrew people. And as far as location, it is Jerusalem within the nation of Israel. Now, a lot of Gentiles may not particularly like that reality, but in as we start to explain to them, gosh, we had probably about 1,700 years of really distortional kind of detouring teaching that got us off the whole initial plan that Father God had. And it's so simple. David, it's really, really simple, and that's why we have a whole lot of ministries joining into this. We have, I'm trying to think now, Simple Truth Ministries, which is what I represent, Red Seal, which is Rick and Maria Sines, and then we have His Dwelling Place Ministries, and we have Rabbi Joel Lieberman of Tree of Life, and we have Rosemary Garlow of Skyline. So that's kind of an eclectic group. We have Elaine Hayes, who's over at the Rock Church, and Jeannie Zuber, who just recently had a dropout, but she'll continue on our team for other events. She's over at a Foursquare church in North County. So all of these people from different backgrounds are saying, by golly, it is one simple, straightforward plan, and there really aren't two books. It's all one book, because whatever happened in the original in prophecy was fulfilled later in the Messianic writings, the New Testament, and it's a story that in reality, is fulfilling prophecy right here in San Diego County. Right here in San Diego County. I can elaborate on that a little bit more.
Well,
let me
kind of capsulize just a little bit what you're saying, because I think what's important to understand is, especially where Earl is talking about, which him and I were talking about before we went on the air, and that is, you have to understand that what happened in the garden, that redemptive story, though God coordinated, was not the intent as we got rolling. In other words, the intent was we'd be in a garden, we'd be a people, we'd be doing stuff with God. Then man sidetracked. So he was like, oops. And like, oops. It's like we went through, that was the rebellion part. So you get into Genesis 3. But you understand that when Jesus came in the redemption process, you understand that the point was to restore that which was lost in the garden, because we 86'd in the wrong direction by sinning. And so whatever it is, there's a lot of people that have some conjecture as to what that is. I don't know why. We have no idea what that's going to be. And who cares? I mean, it's like, it'll be great because it'll be with God. But the redemption of Christ is to bring us back to that place which we lost, which was what? This pure, unpolluted, undeviated fellowship with God. And, you know, you're thinking, well, does that mean that when we go back that we'll be doing this? I have no idea. And anybody who tells you they do is not telling the truth. Here is the reality. What we lost, Jesus restored. That's why he's called the second Adam. Hello. Because he brings it all back. And that's exactly what you're talking about. Is that right, Earl?
Correct. And what's really interesting is I read a line the other day, and it said Adam was made from earth. Adam was also made for the earth. And to me, that really says it all, because, you know, the reason the resurrection is such a big deal is because you need a human body to, when we do get restored back to the original plan, and we make Aliyah in a way, we're making Aliyah back to the earth, and the Jews are the precursor, making Aliyah back to Israel as their homeland. But when we come back, we have a civilization to install. We have a government, and some people call it a kingdom. But whatever you call it, it's a system of order that we see the opposite of in our present circumstances. The kingdom of the enemy is chaos, frenzy, disorder. And then here God shows up and says, he gives us, you know, through Messiah, one single prayer. It's all kind of contained in there. And it says, now we're praying to Daddy, as you said earlier, to Father. By the way, this is the month of in the Jewish calendar of Av. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the emphasis on this is coming back home to Dad, to your Father. It's the prodigal children returning back to Dad. And he's running down the road with his arms extended to embrace his errant children. But it all happens through the bridge of blood, which is Messiah. We can't get back to Daddy unless we go through who he set up as that process, as that go through. So it's beautiful how it's just unfolding, and it's happening right here locally in San Diego.
All right, so let's make some contact points, because we got about a minute and a half. I want to make sure everybody knows what's going on, what's taking place. One new man in Messiah is the understanding that this all converges towards from the redemptive work of the Messiah, so that we can be connected to Dad in the proper way, and then really get back to business before we all got sidetracked. I mean, that's kind of how you'd say it. That's how I'd say it, because that's how I am. Here's what I wanted to let you know. Claremont Christian Fellowship. Okay? Now, that's located at 4570 Mount Herbert Avenue. And if you're like, I'm not going to remember that. Yeah, I understand I can remember that. Go to Google and type in Claremont Christian Fellowship. You know, it's like, or you can go to onenewmansd.com. That makes it simple. This is Saturday, August 9th. This is going to run. The conference is 19th. Sorry. Because the reason I said that is because the time is 9 to 4:30, although registration's kind of at 8:30. It's $20. Lunch is included, and they're going to fly in lobster and veal. Oh, no. They're not doing that. But you can participate for the $20 and be a part of the conference. Here's why you might want to do that. What else you doing on Saturday? Don't tell me. College football hasn't started. I know when it starts. It ain't Saturday. You got nothing to do? Check it out. That'd be fun. You got different speakers talking about there is a single plan taking place that's going to be unfolded, and I got one message for you, and we'll come back and talk about this. God's plan never gets so sidetracked the way you think it is, the way I think it is. His plan always comes to pass, just not in your timing. Oh, that hurts. All right, take a short break, come back, and we're going to do a little bit more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
What in the world is happening in San Diego? In a fulfillment of prophecy, God is uniting both Christians and Messianic Jews under Messiah Jesus. Rabbi Joel Lieberman is one of the many speakers at this One New Man in Messiah conference.
But now I believe that modern-day Messianic Judaism has been given a mission for accomplishing what cannot and could not be done by coercion. In time, both groups, Jew and Gentile, will appreciate what is available from the other. Then Jew and Gentile truly can be one in the Spirit.
So come and see for yourself what God is doing right here in San Diego and beyond at this Saturday, August 19th, One New Man in Messiah Conference.
When San Diego sees Messianic Jews and Christians united, the enemy is defeated.
OneNewManSD.com. Be part of this unprecedented kingdom phenomenon. OneNewManSD.com.
God promises his children a peaceful home in his kingdom.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Peterson. Amy writes, 65 million, that's the number of refugees in our world today. People who have had to leave their homes due to conflict and persecution, and it's higher than it's ever been. The UN has petitioned leaders to work together in receiving refugees so that every child will get an education, every adult will find meaningful work, and every family will have a home. The dream of making homes for refugees in crisis reminds me of a promise God made to the nation of Judah when ruthless Assyrian armies threatened their homes. The Lord commissioned the prophet Micah to warn the people that they would lose their temple and their beloved city of Jerusalem. But God also promised a beautiful future beyond the loss. A day will come, said Micah, when God will call the peoples of the world to himself. Violence will end. Weapons of war will become farming tools, and every person who answers God's call will find a peaceful home and a productive life in his kingdom. Amy concludes, for many in the world today, and maybe for you, a safe home remains more a dream than a reality. But we can rely on God's ancient promise of a home for people of all nations, even as we wait and work and pray for those peaceful homes to become a reality. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier. With Our Daily Bread, download the mobile app for your Apple or Android device at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Let me give you a quick weather update. Awesome. And for the replay at night, it's dark out. Okay, make sure you got that. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is the way to go about. We're hanging out with Reverend Earl Clampett. We're talking about One New Man in Messiah. Let me make sure I get all this information correct. The location, by the way, it's this Saturday, the 19th, this Saturday. And while the gig is 9 a.m. to 4:30, the registration starts at 8:30. So if you mosey on in about 8:15, you get free coffee. Then somewhere there's going
to
be.
By the way, the lunch,
yeah,
you have to pre-register. So take him to the One New Man.
Okay, so you want to go to the OneNewManSD.com so you can register for lunch or bring peanut butter and jelly. I mean, you want to eat the lunch. They're going to have an entire rack of lamb. Okay, bologna sandwiches. Okay, well, something better than that. Claremont Christian Fellowship is where it's taking place. $20 a person. That's for all the information. It's going to help the speakers get there. I mean, people are, they're not making money on this. I mean, if they're making money, they're making a dollar. It's like, come on. So the idea is to understand how God started that book, Genesis 1:1, and when he finished it in Revelation 22:21. So on the front end, you just put Dear Human Race, then put Revelation 1:1, or Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and then put Love God. And that's just how you see it, because it's a letter from the Lord's heart to us. What do you got for me, Rev?
Well, I just, when you were making that point, I remember I was talking to a Baptist minister the other day about your very point of Genesis 1 to Revelation 22:21, and I said, you know, it's really one story, and it's a circular story. And so he took his Bible. It was very used, and the binding was very loose. And he said, so what you're telling me, he opens it up in the middle, and he bends it around, and he connects the Genesis 1 with the Revelation 22, and he goes, it's a circle.
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And then some lady discovered also, she said, it's also a heart. And I said, you know, it's interesting. The last verses of Malachi, before the New Testament starts, talks about bringing the hearts of the children back to the Father, and the Father's heart back to the children. And I think, honestly, David, that's what's happening in this conference. We've had a revelation of who Jesus Christ, Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. We know him, and some of us know the Holy Spirit, but there's seven Jewish feasts. There's not two. And if we stop at Passover, or even if we travel on and stop at Pentecost, we still haven't gotten to the ultimate goal where Messiah, Jesus is saying, hey, don't stop at me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. No one gets to the Father but through me. Unfortunately, we Greeks, because of our 1,700 years of bad teaching, we Greeks and Romans and Western Civ folks, think no one gets to heaven but by me. But that's not what it says. It's relational restoration, not a salvation of relocation. And that relocation is, it's Plato, it's Aristotle thinking, and it's Socratic thinking, Socrates. And they all said the same thing. The opposite of what the Father says in Genesis 1, when he looks at everything he's made and he says, it's very good, the Greeks in their philosophy and in their religion say, no, this earth is evil, because it was made by a second-string set of gods called the Demiurge, and they were defective, and defective gods can only make a defective earth. But that's not the Hebrew point of view. They're saying, no, 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 no. We came from the earth. We were made for the earth. We're returning back to the earth because our job, our assignment, our destiny has been to restore the kingdom of God back here on this earth. It was stolen from us. And as our inheritance, we are going to receive it back. But more importantly, we're going to get reconciled back to Daddy, back to Av, back to Abba, back to Father. Call him whatever you call him. But Messiah has always been pointing, saying, don't stop at me. And we as Gentiles have stopped, saying, you're the be-all and end-all. And Jesus would be the first one to say, why are you stopping at me? Read John 14:6. It's all about Daddy. Let me think. 1 Peter 3:18. He came to reconcile us back to the Father. But we think heaven. We think relocation. That's Greek thinking. It's a detour. It's a detour.
That's interesting. It's kind of an interesting approach. So when you guys put this all together, conference-wise, did you all come together and say, okay, this is kind of how we're going to approach it? Did everybody come in with a different kind of angle?
No.
How did you guys put this bad boy together?
I was invited originally to talk about my book with Red Seal Ministries back in March, and it's called The Blueprint, and the byline under The Blueprint is God's Bible design a Hebrew circle, or is it a Greek straight line? Well, I was supposed to talk about five and a half hours on my book. I could do it. I'm a retired judge. Don't ever give a mic to an attorney. I can do that, right? But I prayed about it, and the Lord said, no, not you by yourself. And I heard the word symposium. I didn't even know what it meant. I had to go home and look it up. And when I looked what it said, it was a group of authors all talking in small dissertations about their various
books.
That's
pretty interesting.
That's how it happened.
That's cool. I like that. All right, so here it is, folks. We're in the wind down, so let's make sure you understand. OneNewManSD.com. That's where you want to go website-wise, because that'll kind of give you the breakdown. The location, Claremont Christian Fellowship. That's simple. It's Saturday, August 19th, and the bottom line is if you are going to participate in the lunch, which you're going to want to do because it's fellowship, you got to register so they know what they're doing, because there's no other way to know. We understand that, just doing the pastor's appreciation lunch. It runs 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Registration's kind of at 8:30. Just mosey in, get some coffee. Don't worry about it. Bottom line, go there, listen, process like we tell you to do everything, like on this show or any other thing that you do at church. You process through, you bring it before the Lord, and that which the Lord sticks in you, you walk with and move forward in. Here is the whole thing in a nutshell. Don't you want to expand your understanding of what's taking place and what the plan of the Lord is? Sure you do. So you listen, and you process, and you get involved with. Good job, by the way. We've never had the chance to meet, have we?
No, we haven't. This is the first time. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 Cape Rays, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 Cape Rays, the Christian station.